Radio Network. It's like this, yo. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power. It's time to talk Hog Football with the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. Jim's Razorback Pizza with three locations throughout Central Arkansas. Highway 10 just past Taylor Loop and Little Rock, just off the Morgan Maumelle exit, and in Hot Springs off Central Avenue at the Temperance Hill Square.
We're going to take full advantage of this week, a couple different areas. First, recruiting-wise, we hit the road Sunday night, and we'll maximize our number of NCAA visits. Our evaluations that were allowed before the conclusion of this weekend, and in that process, too, we'll have a lot of developmental work because we're eliminated from postseason play. The next 3 weeks, we'll try to get as much work as we can with our developmental guys, the guys that will be returning on next year's roster, to get a good feel where they're at and what our recruiting needs need to finish up with. So, and to get ourselves healthy, an opportunity to get ourselves healthy and get back on track.
Welcome back in the zone. It is time now for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. That was Brett Bielema talking about the off week. Arkansas is not playing this weekend, which means they can't win. Good news is they can't lose. So gear up, my friends, because it's an early start a week from Saturday. Arkansas taking on Mississippi State at War Memorial Stadium. 11:21 kick, 8 o'clock, or no, I'm sorry, 7:30 is the pregame show. 8 o'clock is the beginning of the Buzz Ultimate tailgate party, courtesy of our friends at First Security Bank. I will be there. Hopefully Nate Olson of Sink Weekly will be there. He is with us today at Jim's Razorback Pizza. And we have had wings, we have had the Spanish pie, and now knocked out a little chicken bacon ranch. And did you get some hog wild?
Yeah.
And we were
I'm about to do the chicken bacon ranch too. Thank you to Jane for sending some Jim's Razorback Pizza up here. It is amazing.
Buddy, I couldn't let you sit there high and dry with no pizza.
I appreciate it.
I asked Jane, and she was so happy to send you back some pizza. She knew you'd be thrilled. So she said, "Try the
sandwich." I'm about to dig into it.
Warm it up, Chris. I'm about to. He's excited. Okay.
That's what I was born to do.
That's exactly right. We're going to get Edward Ashoff in here in mere moments. Arkansas off this week, but certainly we are talking SEC football, and we're going to focus on some of the other games around the league and get his thoughts on Arkansas thus far. Again, the stat that came out yesterday, I can't say it enough. I think it's encouraging if I'm a Razorback fan, which I am.
Mm-hmm.
Never lost at home to Mississippi State.
I didn't know that. That's a good stat.
Arkansas has had its fair share of issues against lesser-than-Mississippi State teams when they've been in Starkville. And I'm not saying it's been easy every year at home, but they have not lost to them, so I think that's encouraging.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was one that I had circled from the beginning. Now it seems like less of a lock, but you still hope they would have a chance to win that game.
Mike Leach is not in the SEC, but I do want to talk about him coming up in a few minutes as well, an interesting story that came out today, which I find very amusing. And any opportunity or any excuse to play Mike Leach clips, Nate Olson, is a good excuse because I enjoy it so much. The guy is as amusing as they come. All right, let's head to the Stinky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. It's showtime.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Now, their fat little girlfriends have some obvious advantages.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Mike Leach. We'll talk more about him in a little bit. Edward, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing very well.
Razorback fans needed an off week, got an off week. A much better performance last week than it was the last time Arkansas got an off week afterwards. And we'll see if it'll pay off. I just heard, I don't know if you heard the stat I just threw out there. Arkansas has never lost at home to Mississippi State, so we're going to spend the next week being optimistic.
Man, you know, I think that when you come off a performance like they did against Ole Miss, I mean, there's certainly a chance. I think there's more confidence to, you know, keep pretty close with an Ole Miss team that I think is pretty good. And, you know, if they beat Texas A&M, they could be, you know, kind of in the race there in the West. So, excuse me, Mississippi State is certainly struggling, and they have the gauntlet of November. So maybe this is that win. Maybe this is that win in November that they need.
Well, I guess I'd have to look at what all they have left, but, you know, Mississippi State ain't winning this week, so they're going to be, well, I guess it'd be easy then. So they're going to be 4-6 after they lose to Alabama this week. Then they'll have to beat Arkansas and Ole Miss to win, to earn an opportunity to go to the postseason. So this week is, or this coming week for them is pretty huge.
Yeah, I think for Mississippi State, you know, they're certainly going to be on edge for that Arkansas game. And I think it's a must-win for both of them, really, because, you know, Arkansas has to get some sort of confidence, real confidence. And when I say that, I mean a victory going into next season. I mean, obviously, this is a very tough stretch they have. I mean, the entire SEC slate for them, I think, is just, for a first-year coach who's totally rebuilding, I mean, wow, that is not nice. But, you know, for both these teams, Mississippi State desperately wants to make it to a bowl game, get four in a row. A lot of people talk about Dan Mullen being on the hot seat. So
yeah.
I think Mississippi State is certainly going to have its back against the wall playing Arkansas.
It is funny that, you know, we talked before the season, and I thought he was a little bit on a hot seat with Will Muschamp, and Mullen certainly is, or at least I think he is. And now neither one of these guys appear that they're headed to bowl games, or at least there's certainly a strong possibility that they won't go to bowl games. What do you think that does? I guess Muschamp got a vote of confidence from the AD or the president yesterday, but clearly these are two fan bases that can't be too thrilled about the way things are going.
Yeah, I think things are certainly worse in Gainesville. I mean, for Mississippi State, I just wonder, you know, where can they go if they don't have Dan Mullen? I mean, three straight bowl games, that's never happened in school history. This is a team that, you know, won 10 games a couple of years ago. They beat Michigan. It just throttled Michigan in the Gator Bowl. But really, I think the downfall for Mississippi State has been the rise of Ole Miss. They've just not won the recruiting battle in the state of Mississippi, and that's benefited the Rebels. And, you know, they're doing well this season. They have a really good class again, and I think that that's something that's going to hurt Dan Mullen going forward. And I think it would hurt any Mississippi State coach. The thing with them is they have to develop players. I mean, Mullen has the senior guys in those first couple of seasons, and it really helped them out. Now you've got to develop that talent that you brought in. And, you know, we saw it. They lost all their top receivers from last year. They lost all their defensive backs, basically, except for Nico Whitley, and they've really struggled. So I think going forward, development has to be key. And for Florida, you know, I agree that Will Muschamp today, he won 11 games last year. They're just riddled with injuries this season. I think it's really tough for Jeremy Foley to make a move. And really, you devalue the program if you get rid of him now. It's kind of the situation with Urban Meyer when he came in. You know, he was unsure about the stability of Florida because Ron Zook had only been there 2.5 years. So if you're saying to a coach, hey, we're going to fire you after 3 years if you don't have three straight winning seasons, and obviously at a school like Florida, you know, you have to, it sort of makes that job tough to rehire a big name. And I just don't think that there are enough big names out there with, you know, possibly Texas coming open, obviously USC open, for Florida to really make a move right now.
Yeah, well, if you're going to be in a position where you're going to have to fire him next year or the year after that, I'd say go ahead and get it done. And I think that's going to be the case. I don't think they're going to fire him, though, but I do think they're going to be in the same position a couple of years from now, and then they'll be forced into a move, and it'll be two more years you wasted with him as a head coach.
I mean, you don't want to settle, though. That's the thing about it.
Yeah.
With a job like this, you can't settle on, okay, who's the hot coordinator? You know, this is Urban Meyer was the hottest name in college football, and he went to the University of Florida. You know, Will Muschamp was an up-and-coming guy, but, you know, Urban didn't leave this program with a losing season. Yeah, they weren't great, but I don't think they settled for Will Muschamp. At this point, I think you're settling because Charlie Strong, that's way too much money that Florida would have to pay. Is Art Briles going to leave Texas to go to Florida? I don't see that happening.
No, because
he
just got
bell ring.
He just signed a new contract, and he's got to have a huge buyout. He just signed a new contract yesterday for 10 years, so he's out of the picture. And if he was still in the mix, maybe that becomes interesting, but because of the fact he signed a 10-year deal there, and I got to believe the first couple years of the buyout are ludicrous, there's no chance you're getting Art Briles, and he would definitely be one of the hot names if he was available.
Certainly, certainly. Yeah, and they need an offensive injection. They need somebody who can run an offense.
This is true. Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com's SEC blogger, joining us in the zone. Justin Akery, Nate Olson out here at Jim's Razorback Pizza on Highway 10. Come by for lunch, as some folks have already done. You can come by for dinner tonight. And we'll talk more about some of the specials coming up in a little while. Missouri is obviously in great shape off this week before playing at Ole Miss and then getting A&M at home. Certainly they can still stumble and still win their division and head to the SEC title game to take on Alabama or Auburn if something strange happens there. But do you think they run the table? Do you think they split? What's your expectation for their next couple of games?
I think best-case scenario is splitting. That's a tough game at Ole Miss. And then to turn right back around and have to play Johnny Manziel, who could be in his last, you know, regular season game with Texas A&M. I just think that Texas A&M offense is too much. Johnny Manziel is too much. And I think for Ole Miss, that's a big game. I mean, this is an Ole Miss team that wants to win 9 games, maybe 10 with a bowl victory, mm-hmm. and they have a chance. You're getting James Franklin back. He's going to be healthy, so that's good. But he'll be a little rusty out there. And trust me, that environment in Oxford is going to be just livid. It's going to be live. They're going to mm-hmm. love seeing, you know, a top 5 team come into the country, or top 7, top 8, whatever they're going to be at that time, playing in the Grove. So I think those are two really tough games, and that's a tough way to end the season, especially for a team that hasn't been here. I know that they won in the Big 12, but a lot of these guys aren't used to this sort of, you know, scrutiny and attention in the SEC, and we saw what happened to them when the pressure got to them against South Carolina. So I think they'll play better, but it's going to be an interesting one. I say the best case scenario is that they split those.
Let me just give the listeners a heads up, and I have told the listeners this, and it is not always true, but it is certainly a good guideline. It is not a rule. But Thursday night, road favorites always struggle. It's almost always true. We have seen it in recent weeks. I mean, you saw it with Oregon. You've seen it in many cases over the last few years. That if Mississippi State beats Arkansas for the first time ever in the state of Arkansas, and they have a bowl trip on the line against Ole Miss, they are at home, it is a Thursday night, and they will be an underdog. That will be an interesting game. Let's see what happens next week before we get to that point, I guess. But okay, so Alabama and Auburn now seems to be shaping up as an interesting game. Do you think it will be competitive? Do you think it will be close? Or do you think Alabama wipes the table with them in a couple weeks?
I think it'll be close because it's at Auburn. That's the spread offense that Nick Saban hates to look at. But I do think that Alabama has the edge because of how well they played against LSU. I thought that game was going to be a lot closer, and they just steamrolled LSU in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. And I think that's going to be the difference. I mean, this is a team that knows if they lose the game, they're probably out of the national championship picture. And you don't want to go from 2 straight national championships with, you know, a lot of guys coming back from that national championship team to missing out by losing to your rival, your hated rival, at their place. And they have a brand new coach, and they're the hot team right now. I just think that Alabama's going to be way too focused. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think that Gus Malzahn has some things up his sleeve. You're going to see this weekend when they beat Georgia, calling it now. And I think that it'll be a fun one. I hope I'm at that game. It's going to be a great, great environment. And what a way to end the season if Auburn were to win that game. I mean, outside chance of the BCS National Championship. But you ruin Alabama's three-peat. I mean, wow. Coach of the year, Gus Malzahn.
What do you think the line will be in that game?
I'd probably say around 3-5. I think it'll be low because this. I mean, when you look at the way that Alabama has played against spread offense, they struggle. I mean, they had that lead against Texas A&M, and Johnny Manziel brought him back. I don't think Nick Marshall is Johnny Manziel, but I think that offense, Trey Mason, I mean, they have a running game. I think they have a better running game than Texas A&M because there's so many more options that Nick Marshall can run. So I think it'll be low.
Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com's SEC blogger, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. We had a caller calling that didn't want to go on air, but wanted to get your thoughts on possibly by Petrino going to Florida if that job opened up, or really anywhere in the SEC. Do you think there is a team in the SEC that would be interested in taking by Petrino with the baggage of the history and the baggage of his personality being difficult at best, and that's probably being extremely generous?
I don't think Florida would. I know he was on the radar a few years ago, but I don't see that happening. I don't think Foley. I mean, like I said, I don't think he'd make a move now anyway. I mean, I guess if Mississippi State came open, it would certainly be a possibility. He's a guy who's going to put that offense on the map, certainly.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all the money that they put into that football program in the last year, if they were to get rid of Dan Mullen or he were to move on, I mean, that's a name that would certainly generate some excitement. I know that there'd be a lot of jokes. And there would be, you know, the microscope would certainly be on him in that university, but it wouldn't shock me. It really wouldn't shock me if Mississippi State were to go in that direction. But I don't know. I just don't see Mullen leaving right now. At least I don't see him getting fired right now.
It's not a great week in the SEC, Edward, but which game do you expect to be more competitive, Georgia at Auburn or Florida at South Carolina?
Georgia at Auburn. I don't know what Florida can do to win this game. Skyler Morningwig might be the quarterback. Tyler Murphy's so banged up. They lost Antonio Morrison. South Carolina knows if they win this game, they're just hoping for a Missouri loss and, you know, a Georgia loss, and they're headed to the SEC championship game. So I think I said 27-10 South Carolina. It might be worse than that.
Yeah.
And I think George Auburn's going to be really competitive. I think both those defenses are going to give up a lot of yards and give up a lot of points, but running game, can Georgia stop that running game? And they've been better. They haven't allowed more than 150 yards in the last four or five games. But, you know, Auburn, I'm pretty sure they've rushed for 280-plus yards seven times this year.
That's scary. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a pretty good recipe for victory, for sure. There's no question about that. As far as first-team All-SEC quarterback, if you were choosing today, is it Manziel, or do you make a case for McCarron or someone else?
Manziel. He's number one on my Heisman. He's the best player in the country. I don't know what the argument is against him for either the Heisman or first team. He put up the best stats. He leads the SEC in passing yards, and it's not even close. He has 3,300 yards and 3,100 yards. And the next best, I think, is Zach Mettenberger at 27.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, he has 31 touchdown passes. He didn't even have 30 last year. 611 rushing yards. I got to go with the most exciting player in the country.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday. If there was a money factor as far as guys that are worth the price of admission, he is far and away the number one pick in the country ahead of anybody by far.
Yeah.
But Jameis Winston, if you compare their stats side by side, that's something I have not done.
I have.
And?
And Manziel is beating him by 1,000 yards total offense, has way more touchdowns. Obviously, he runs the ball a lot more. He has the wins. Winston has the wins, and he has a smile. But Johnny Manziel's got a pretty nice smile, and he's got a lot of yards. And he just go look at random videos of Johnny Manziel in football games, and it's way more exciting than Jameis Winston.
Johnny Manziel is currently, this is amazing, fourth in the country in passing yards, behind the quarterback Mannion from Oregon State. I guess it's the Ball State quarterback, and then Derek Carr at Fresno. And obviously he's probably the leading rusher among those guys. He's also averaging, and he's the only guy in the top nine that is averaging 10 yards an attempt. So 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He is certainly pretty freakish, and he has had a heck of a year. And you said over 600 yards rushing also?
Yeah, and I think he's third nationally in efficiency as well.
Yeah, when you look at the numbers, that's incredible. I mean, I'm with you. I don't think there's any argument he's not the best player in the country. It is a bit of a popularity contest. So, and again, he got some negative attention, unfortunately, for him. He is, like you said, nearly 1,000. I guess he's about 700 yards or so ahead of Winston, who is averaging over 11 yards per attempt and has 26 touchdowns, which is pretty impressive as well, against 7 interceptions. So his numbers are awfully good too, but yeah, I'm with you. Against the defenses they play week in and week out, and the fact that he's done it consistently, I will say this, those two guys are the only ones in the conversation for me, because they never have an off day. They never play badly.
Yeah.
They've not had a bad game yet, and it seems like the bigger the stage, the brighter the spotlight, the better they play.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mariota's out of it. Hodge Boyd's been out of it. Teddy Bridgewater was out of it when he lost to UCF. And really, it's no competition that he's really played. I still think he might be one or two in the draft, but no, I totally agree. It's Manziel and it's Winston, and they both get a huge opportunity coming up, because if Manziel plays well against LSU, that's another good defense that he faced on the road. And if Winston wins the ACC, then there you go. But I mean, Manziel lost two games last year and threw 9 interceptions and won it. He's putting up better passing yards this year. And he has 2 losses. And he has really a chance of winning out. So his Heisman moment could come against Missouri.
Yeah, I'm looking through the numbers here, and I guess I haven't looked at, McCarron is steady Eddie, obviously, but I've not really looked through his numbers. But there are people that will make the argument as, A, it's a career award for him because of his consistency, his winning percentage, all that. But I just don't think his numbers are close to being Heisman worthy, unfortunately, for him. He's 44th in the country in total passing yards.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a Lifetime Achievement Award, then he gets it, but I don't know, unless he just goes off in this last month, and they obviously win the SEC, but I got Manziel.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear you say that. I hope more people share that thought, because you may not see a guy as special as Manziel again for 15, 20 years, so... All right, well, listen, we appreciate it, and we look forward to visiting next week. We'll get more of your thoughts on the Mississippi State and Arkansas game. Maybe we'll learn a little bit more about the Bulldogs this weekend if they make it interesting with Alabama, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that one because I want to
breathe. Yeah, I wouldn't either. I would not. Right,
Edward, have a good week. Are you going somewhere this weekend?
I'm actually in Madison, Wisconsin. We are doing a flip week, and I'm covering the Wisconsin-Indiana game. So,
bring your parka.
I got my pea coat.
Where's the Big Ten guy going?
One of them is going to, one of them went to the Clemson-Georgia Tech game tonight.
That's a good
game.
And
the other one is going to Auburn-Georgia.
But you really got screwed on the weather deal, bro.
I'm good with it. Half my family's from Iowa, so this is nothing to me.
I know, but
I've always wanted to go to Camp Randall.
Yeah, but you grew up in Oxford and went to Florida.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of the cold weather.
And it's an attempt for me to dress even nicely.
Okay. Yes, there you go. Well, look, I will forget about this, so remind me next week because I want to get your thoughts on your trip. Have you been to a game in Madison before?
Never.
It's going to be pretty special. I'm excited to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Hey, ask around, too, anytime you get a chance to talk to fans or anybody that's involved with the administration, get their thoughts on Bielema.
Oh, trust me. That's number one on the list. Should be interesting.
All right. Well, have a safe trip, and don't drop any hashtag karma on them while you're up there. They don't like that.
Nice. I like that.
All right, Edward. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you guys later.